I want to thank the elders for this opportunity to bring a lesson. And speaking with Obed, we were kind of talking about how we come up with lessons. And for me, I typically will get a thought in my head and kind of run with it for a while before I actually sit down and start putting it all together. So I have that opportunity to kind of build what I'm going to talk about. And it's interesting that while I'm thinking about these lessons, you start seeing it applied into life. This last week, I was out of town and dealing with lots of people and seeing different perspectives of life and different stages, places that other people are living, the places that I'm living, and kind of applying what I've been thinking about for the last couple of months on this lesson. So what I want to talk tonight about is slavery. When we look at the Exodus from Egypt, we have a great example of exactly what slavery is and what it was for these people. But when we also start thinking about our own slavery, the slavery that we had all been enslaved with, and it's the worldly things, that world of sin that we were enslaved to, and when we start comparing ourselves to the Israelites and when they were coming out of Egypt, they had redemption. They had this opportunity to be free. And yet we see these people consistently looking back at what they had when they were in slavery. And so that's kind of what I want to talk about tonight. And if you will just keep that in mind while we kind of go through this. So one of my favorite books in the Bible is Exodus. You know, there's so many things that happen in this book. So many things that we see for the first time in the Bible. The first time salvation is used is in Exodus. The first example of baptism that we see is used in Exodus. So we're going to go ahead and start at Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5. And when we talk about slavery and what was going on with these people, this is just to give us an idea of what they were actually dealing with. So slavery, with Exodus chapter 5, we're going to begin at verse 4. And so just to give a little context, this is after Moses and Aaron have come to the Pharaoh, and they've said, please let our people go to worship the God of Israel. We need to go out into the wilderness, give us 3 days to celebrate. And it's Pharaoh who hardens his heart, which is even what God had told Moses and Aaron would happen. And we see the result of this conversation. Exodus chapter 5, verse 4. But the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you draw the people away from their work? Get back to your labors. So we've got these slaves, and we're going to see how he reacts to this. Continuing on at verse 5, again, Pharaoh says, look at the people of the land, and now many, and you would have them cease from their labors. So the same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters over the people and their foremen, saying, you are no longer to give the people the straw to make the bricks as previously. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But this quota of bricks which they were making previously, you shall impose on them. You are not to reduce any of it, because they are lazy. Therefore, they cry out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let the labor be heavier on these men, and let them work at it so that they will pay no attention to false words. So the taskmasters of the people and their foremen went out and spoke to the people, saying, thus says the Pharaoh, I'm not going to give you any straw. You go and get straw for yourselves wherever you can find it, but none of your labor will be reduced. So the people scattered through all the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw. The taskmasters pressed them, saying, complete your work quota, your daily amount, just as when you had straw. And it's pretty interesting that we can actually go back to Egypt and look at the bricks, and you can see the difference in the bricks, the way that they were made. When it was, they had straw that was very standard, and all the bricks, and then they changed to straw and sticks, the things that the Israelites had to go and gather. So we see that the work upon them is doubled. Not only do they no longer have the straw, they have to go out and get the straw themselves. So we kind of see what slavery was for them. And when we compare that to our own lives, to what sin is, sin's a little more covert. With these people, it was very obvious. At the end of your day, you could look back and think about the taskmasters, the way that they treated you. Perhaps you had some stripes across your back from the whips. You definitely had the pain in your back from having to constantly bend over, pick up the straw, make the mud, make the bricks, lay the bricks. So you definitely had those pains. But sin isn't like that. And the fleshly world that we live in, it's not as easy at the end of the day to see the pains and the toils of the slavery of sin that we've had to deal with. So we see these people, the work that they are having to do, and they kind of turn towards Moses and start saying, "Hey, what have you done to us? You've made our task that much harder." It's almost like we really don't want the help. And how often in the world do we say the same thing? I've got a pretty good life. Things are going good. This is a conversation I've had with a lot of people when I talk about the gospel. I have a good life. Things are good the way they are going right now. I really don't need to upset this balance. Please don't make it any harder. But Moses kept pushing on because Moses was acting under the commandment of God. The faith that we see in Moses is pretty significant because Moses had that desire to help his people. Even when he was 40 years old and he killed the Egyptian that was beating the Israelites, he was acting in a good faith of wanting to help these people. And now he's going in and he's saying something to the Pharaoh and he sees the work get that much harder for the people. And I know he had to question, is this the right thing? Is God really pushing me in the right direction? Is what God's asking of me going to be beneficial? And how often is it that we say the same thing when we're trying to come out of that world of sin? Is this really the beneficial thing? No, maybe I'm giving up some of the luxuries that I've had. Now I'm starting to give up some of the things in life that I really enjoyed. I really enjoyed getting to sleep in on Sunday mornings. I really enjoyed going out and having social beverages with friends. I really enjoyed all the things that the world had to provide. And is it really worth what I'm putting myself through? But Moses kept pushing on. And he pushed on, and we went through all the trials that the Egyptians and the Israelites had to face together until we get to the Passover. And finally, Pharaoh says, "Let these people go." And they start their journey out to the wilderness. And at the very last minute, Pharaoh has that change of heart. He says, "Nope, you know what? I'm not going to let these people go, and they're going to pay for it." So let's go ahead and turn over to Exodus chapter 14. This is our next little section here. And this is where we see the people start to doubt. Exodus chapter 14, Pharaoh's in pursuit of the Israelites. They've come up to the Red Sea, and now they're faced with this obstacle that is beyond anything that they could do, right? Nothing in their own power could get them across that Red Sea. So they are stuck between the Red Sea and an army of Pharaoh's. And so we turn to chapter 14, looking at verse 9. "Then the Egyptians chased after them with all their horses and chariots of Pharaoh, the horsemen and his army, and they overtook the camping by the sea, beside Pihahiroth in the front of Baal-Zephon. As Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, 'Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, "Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness"? How often Does this hinder people from making that step into baptism and to becoming a Christian? It's a, when you look at it, living a Christian life, it is impossible. It is impossible with the humanistic mind and with the eyes that we have, these fleshly eyes, you say, there is no way that I can do this. And the Egyptians are saying the same thing, or the Israelites are saying the same thing. But the thing that they were missing is that God was there to provide for them. Let's go ahead and continue on at verse 13. But Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever." When we're talking to people who are looking at becoming a Christian and looking at that, see that they simply cannot pass on their own, it's very important that we remind them that this is something that they don't have to do on their own. And it's very important that we remind ourselves this is not something that we could even accomplish on our own. So we see the people continue to murmur. They cross through the Red Sea, they get to the wilderness, but now they're out in the wilderness and they don't have the supplies that they had. They don't have all the luxuries that they had in Egypt. Even though they were slaves, they still look back to the luxuries that they had as those slaves. Go ahead and turn with me to Exodus chapter 15. We're going to look at chapter 15, verse 22. It's very interesting. Just after they sing the song to the Lord saying how great he is and thank you for seeing us through and that you've provided for us, we get to verse 22. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Once again, as a new Christian, how many times do we say, "What you're providing me will not sustain me"? We'll continue on at verse 25. Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it in the waters, and the waters became sweet. There he made for them a statute and regulation, and he tested them. And he said, "If you will give your earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the disease on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer." You know, I think about that. That they were drinking this bitter water and the solution was right there in front of them. God had already provided a solution before they even knew that they had a problem. And how often is that with us as Christians, that we don't see the solution? And God had already provided it way before these people ever got out to the wilderness. Those trees were planted, those trees were growing, they were the solution to that bitter water. We continue on to Exodus chapter 16. And notice how close these chapters are to each other. Chapter 16, starting at verse 3. The sons of Israel said to them, "What would you have, what that we have died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full? For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Once again, they forget that God has provided for them. God had provided for them a way out of Egypt, a way across the Red Sea. He had provided them water. And now they're worried about their stomachs. We continue on. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them, whether or not they will walk in my instruction." So much the same as us as Christians. God will provide for us, but it is a test to see whether or not we will walk in his instruction. And on the sixth day, when they were preparing what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. So Moses and Aaron said to all the sons of Israel, at evening, you will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your grumblings against the Lord. And what are we that you grumble against us? So God provided them with bread. He provided them with meat in the evenings. Made sure that they, when they saw no solution, God had already planned a solution for them. It's the same thing as Christians. When we see no solution, God has already provided a solution for us. We continue on to verse 17. Once again, they are worried about the water. As they move on, continuing at 17, chapter 17, verse 1, then all the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by the stages from the wilderness of Sin, according to the command of the Lord, encamped at Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Once again, these people have already forgotten. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? But the people thirsted there for water, and they grumbled against Moses and said, why now have you brought us up from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do to these people? A little more, and they will stone me. Once again, how often do we as Christians say the same thing? How can I live a Christian life? I've got to take care of my children. I've got to take care of my home. I've got to take care of all the worldly things that you've given me. And I can't do that as a Christian. You know, we had the opportunity, me and Lydia, to sit and with some of the people that I work for. And we're sitting in a room with people who are millionaires, talking about their trips on their private jets and talking about dinners with people of notoriety. And you think about, wow, how could I do that? How could I be in that position? And it's really easy. All you have to do is give up some of the scruples that you have, some of the things in life that hold you back from being a greedy person, from being a person who is willing to take from others. How similar are we at that same point to say, you know, how am I supposed to take care of what I have? I had a good way of taking care of it back in Egypt, back in that world of sin. I had a good way of taking care of the things that I want to take care of. I could have everything that I wanted if I could just be a simple person and not have to follow the law of God. But God provided. It wasn't what they expected. It wasn't what they thought they were going to get, but God provided. And it's the same for us as Christians. When we begin to murmur against God, how come I don't have all the things that all the people in the world have? And you can go through a list. I think any of us could make a pretty significant list of all the things that we've given up to be Christians. But God has provided for us. And as we continue through Exodus, now we see their murmuring begin to be punished. When we get to Exodus 32, Exodus 32, while Moses is going on to the mount to get the commandments from God, while the people can see, they can hear the rumbling of the thunder, they see the smoke surrounding the mountain, they see the flames, they know that Moses has gone up there, they begin to doubt, and they return to the things that they had in Egypt, right? That return to the idol worshiping. How often do we do the same thing? We see the power of God. We see that he has sustained us. And then we go back to something as simple as idol worshiping. You know, I don't think anybody here has a golden calf, but it is very easy to turn things, possessions, people into idols that are very easy to worship. And that's the thing about sin. And slavery for Egypt, for these Israelites, it was very obvious. If you had a golden calf, you were worshiping an idol. But for us today, things of the fleshly world, Those idols aren't as easily seen. They don't stand out like a golden calf, but they're still there. And because of the golden calf and the worshiping, there were 3,000 people killed by the swords of the Levites. As we continue on to Numbers 11, let's go ahead and turn over to Numbers chapter 11. We see greed start to take effect. Numbers chapter 11, we're going to start at verse 5. Let's actually go ahead and start at verse 4. Actually, we're going to go ahead and start at verse 1. How about that? Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. The people therefore cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died out. So the name of that place was called Taberah, because of the fire the Lord burned among them. The rabble who were among them had greedy desires, and also the sons of Israel wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we used to eat free in Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic, but now our appetite is gone. There's nothing at all to look at except this manna." We go ahead and skip down to verse 11. Moses starts to get this as well. So Moses says to the Lord, "Why have you been so hard on your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you have laid this burden of all the people on me? Who was it I who conceived all this people? Was it I who brought them forth, that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing infant to the land which you swore to their fathers'? Where am I to get meat to give to all these people? For they weep before me, saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I alone am not able to carry all this people, because it is too burdensome for me. So if you're going to deal this with me, please kill me at once, if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness." Greed and complaining are very infectious. And we see these people, even after they saw those that were burned on the outskirts of the camp, turn around and complain the same way that those that perished were complaining. And then we see Moses doing the same thing. God tells him, "I will give you 70 elders to assist and help share that burden." Once again, God provides a solution. It wasn't the solution that they were thinking of. The solution that they were thinking of is, "You take us directly to the promised land, make it all better." But that's the way life is. Wouldn't it be great if we could say, "I'm baptized, take me to heaven right now, we're all done, easy trip," right? It's not like that. We still have to continue to journey through life, and we still have to keep pushing forward. And as we see in verse 18 through 20, let's go ahead and jump down. God has a rebuttal for this. "Say to the people, 'Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. You're going to get what you asked for. For you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, "Oh, that someone would give us meat to eat. For we were well off in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you, and have wept before him, saying, 'Why did we ever leave Egypt?'" God's about to give them what they've asked for. They wanted meat, and he's going to give them meat. We jump down to verse 31. "Now there went forth a wind from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea, and let them fall beside the camp, and a day's journey on this side, and a day's journey on the other side, and all around the camp, about 2 cubits deep on the surface on the ground. The people spent all day and all night, and the next day, and gathered the quail. He who gathered less gathered 10 homers. And they spread them out for themselves all around the camp." So they've got all this meat. We continue on at verse 33. While the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very severe plague. So the name of that place was called Kibroth Hattaavah, because they buried the people who had been greedy. Greed is very consuming. You know, I think about Obed's lesson where he was comparing the wages of sin. You're working, the wages that you work for in sin are death. And the same with the greed that these people had. We continue on in Numbers 12, the plague of pride, where Miriam and Aaron complained about, aren't we just as good as Moses? And Miriam was struck with leprosy. Numbers 14, they spoke against God after the spies saw the promised land. The end of Numbers 14, we see God tell the people, anybody who is over the age of 20 will not see the promised land. If you're going to complain about it, all those spies that went and did brought back an ill report of the promised land, they suffered a very horrible plague and died in front of all the people. Number 16, we see what happened to Korah and the 250 that were with him and the plague that followed afterwards. Numbers 21, we see a lack of patience, and the lack of patience resulted in the fiery serpents. So what do we want to return to slavery of sin for? What are we looking for? Do we have the same complaints? Is the food of God too bland for us? Do we tire of the repetition of the diet? Or do we forget the journey that we're on? Romans 7, we read a verse from there, shows how the law of Moses exposes our sin, the slavery of the flesh. It isn't visible as the slavery of the Israelites, but the symptoms are there. We hear people talk about addiction. We hear people talk about depression. We see hate in the world. These are all the symptoms of slavery. Romans 8, we have that answer to slavery. We have the answer, and we'll go ahead and end with John chapter 8, 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. So Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and that truth will make you free. We have an answer to that slavery. We don't have to be stuck in slavery. We don't have to be stuck in the slavery of sin. And if we look back and we try to get pieces of that life, we see that there will be consequences for it. So if there's anybody tonight who is dealing with those difficulties, we have a great opportunity to be with brothers and sisters who can pray for us, who can help stand by us, who can help strengthen us. It's so easy to forget that God is there as well. The avenue of prayer is that way to speak to God, to ask him about the things that we need help with. The solutions are there. God has already provided the solutions before we were even born. The solution was already there. The solution to our sin problem was already there. That's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ. It's up to us to continue to march forward and to rely on God and not to rely on ourselves and not to look back to that world of slavery that we were once freed, that we have been freed from. So if there's anybody here tonight who needs the prayers, or if there's anybody who has not accepted this and decided to come out of that world of slavery, we have the opportunity. You have to hear the word. You have to believe the word. You have to repent. You have to turn away from that slavery, from all the things that enslaved you before. And you have to be baptized. And then we have to continue a faithful life. And that's what this walk is for. So if there's anybody here tonight who needs the prayers or who wants to make that decision to change and be freed from that slavery, now is a great opportunity. We have a song picked out as we stand and sing. If you would come forward.